everyone. Welcome to episode 32, I hope, of the Thomas and the Bible. I think that's right. Okay, we are on Numbers, chapter 4. And this is my technically my second one this week, like I promised. I guess Friday night. I don't know what constitutes my week. I guess it's in the same, 7 days. It's within seven. Oh, you know what? Shut up. God, it's so demanding. If you don't mind, I'm just going to go ahead and read the book. Is that okay with you? Thank you. Chapter 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, after their families, by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host, to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come, and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil, and cover the ark of testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger's skins, and spread over it a cloth holy of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. And upon the table of shewbread they shall spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes, and the spoons, and the bowls, and covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of badger's skins, and shall put in the staves thereof. You know, this stupid book really just needs to be renamed Minute Crap I Told a Bunch of People to Do for No Reason by God, by S. Godson. Yeah, because I mean, it. Just thinking about it from, I'm going to go off script here. Just thinking about it from like a alien perspective, like assuming. Try to just blank your mind for a minute of all your preconceptions of God and the Bible and everything, and just think of this blank mind. You know that. Okay, like you're given this information. God is about to talk to people. God of the universe, who created the universe, is going to come down and start talking to people, like he did to Moses or Abraham, or I don't even remember who originally, but just take that piece of information with no preconceptions. Now you could make some guesses as to what would happen. Like personally, if I really try to do this thought experiment, take a drink of scotch here. It helps with thought experiments. So any of you want to grab some scotch for a minute here and pause it, you know, maybe you're at work, don't care, do it anyway. I would think, God's going to say, tell us the meaning of everything, you know, why we're here, how it came to be, who he is, what he's about, who created him or how he came to be. And if not that, maybe, you know, okay, maybe he wants to us to live in mystery. He come down and tell us vaguely what to do, which you could make an argument the Ten Commandments were. But never in a billion years, if you just empty your mind, would you ever think like, oh, the creator of the universe is going to come down and like first give us some arts and crafts to build for chapters and chapters, you know, this pristine, like we have to build everything just right, have candles in certain places and all this detailed, ridiculous stuff, and we have to follow all these unbelievably detailed rituals and all that. Like, would that ever occur to you? Would that ever be a guess that you'd have of what the creator of the universe was going to tell you? And I know that, you know, what every time I argue or anybody argues with religious people, they always say, well, God is God. You can't question the mind of God. If we're postulating a God who knows everything, then he, there's no sense in questioning what he does. And it's like, I guess if you want to, I mean, if you want to say that, you can get away with anything, first of all. And if that sits well with your mind, then I don't know. There's no way you're listening to this. If you can just sit there and accept an answer like that, which could justify anything, literally any phenomenon could happen. Like you could just, your legs could fall off. And if the minute you ask why would God want my legs to fall off? I'm in terrible pain. The answer is, well, you can't question the, you know, he's the smart, you know, it's like any horrible thing, any ridiculous thing, anything. And that could be the answer. And that's not thinking, having that be your answer. I know I've been, rambling on for a while here, but the point is, if we can't use our brains that supposedly God gave us to think about stuff like this, I know, and gosh, I'm still going on, but let me take a different tact here. Take the position that there are lots of religious texts like this one, and there are. And from that position, you might be able, and they're mutually exclusive, by the way. So it's not like you can argue that one God wrote them all very clearly, you know, that kind of thing. Well, I would make an argument to the religious person that, and you always, you know, you got to grant God just to sort of be arguing in their turf. Like, okay, assuming God created me, he gave me this intellect, more or less, for better or for worse, I would make an argument to this religious person. I just thought of this now, so I haven't done this before. I should try it. But, like, I should be able to use my intellect to determine which among these myriad holy texts is the correct one. It represents a God that is all-powerful, wise, all that kind of stuff. Now, I wonder what they'd say to that. I really should try that next time. Because from that perspective, they've got to agree that, yeah, you can do that. Because otherwise, what ridiculous position do they have to take? Like, no, you should just know that this is the right one somehow. Like, well, what if you're born in a different country where there's no way that could be a position. So you'd have to take the position that, yes, you can use your intellect to parse through all this stuff. And once they grant you that, then I'd say, oh, well, this is easy. This is easily not the right book. I'm not even through, you know, book four or whatever it is, and I already know it's not the right book, or at least you know maybe we can read on later, but this testament so far is bullshit. None of this happened. I know that an all-powerful God didn't do any of this. I know it. Well, I'm glad I just thought of that right now. Sorry for the long rant. I'll go on now. And they shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick of the light and his lamps and his tongs and his snuff dishes and all the oil vessels thereof, wherewith they minister unto it, and they shall put it and all the vessels thereof within a covering of badger's skins, and shall put it upon a bar. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue, and cover it with a covering of badger's skins, and shall put to the staves thereof. And they shall take all the instruments of the ministry, wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of badger's skins, and shall put them in a bar. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth thereon. And they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about it, even the censers, the flesh hooks, the shovels, the basins, all the vessels of the altar, and they shall spread upon it a covering of badger's skins, and put the staves to it. And at this point, Moses was most likely like, hey, God, you know you haven't exactly given us an abundance of badgers. I've got people hunting the damn things around the clock, I'm going to ask you, does every single thing need to be covered with a badger skin? Or like, is a raccoon skin not going to quite do work, you know? Well, we don't get good reception on the tabernacle. Like, it doesn't come in right to your ear if there's raccoon skin. Okay, all right. Okay, I'll continue trying to find some Friggin' Badgers. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary, Scotch, and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward after that, the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it. But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burdens of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. And to the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest pertaineth the oil for the light, and the sweet incense, and the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is in the sanctuary, and the vessel thereof. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Oh, okay. I guess that was the end of it. Sometimes, my inflection gets a little off when I don't understand when the hell a thought is ending or not. Because you can never tell with this book. Vessels thereof. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, cut ye not off the tribes of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites. But thus do unto them, that they may live and not die, sort of redundant, when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in, and shall appoint them every one to his service and to his burden. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. Lest they die. And I love the passive voice the Lord uses all the time. I brought this up a number of times, but I can never resist. Lest they die, a.k.a. lest I murder them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take also the sum of the sons of Gershon throughout the houses of their fathers by their families, from 30 years old and upward unto 50 years old that shalt number them, all that enter in to perform the service to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This is the service of the families to the Gershonites to serve and for burdens. So I guess right now all that happened. Oh, I should probably summarize. Nothing. No, that's a cop out. Well, let's see what has happened. He's been telling him to cover everything they have with badger skins, including other badgers. Like, take that badger and cover it with a badger skin. And wrap themselves in badger skins. Wear badger skin hats. Let's see. Scroll down. Carry their badger skins in badger skins. They're given some instructions. And then he starts doling out work to different people on the tabernacle. Like, these people are going to have this duty. These people are going to have this duty. And so right now we're on the Gershonites. And so really what I'd be doing if I were there is really looking like I'm busy. Like I'm already doing, if I'm a Gershonite, say, I'm like, I don't know, I'm moving leaves around, you know, I'd be, this is the perfect, I'd be gathering sticks. There is no one in the world ever questions the guy who's gathering sticks. The sticks could be for any number of things. There's nobody's ever going to go, Thomas, what are you gathering all those sticks for? Because once they say that, I'd do this thing. Like, I'd overcompensate. It'd be like, what am I gathering sticks for? Do I really have to tell you what I'm gathering sticks for? All right, you're the one that's talking to God, right? Not me. And you're asking me what I'm gathering these sticks for. And if that didn't work, you know, like, because hopefully that would be enough. They'd be like, oh, you're right, never mind. But no, assuming that didn't work, then I'd have to be like, well, I'll tell you, if you really can't figure out why I'm gathering sticks, there's these things called fires that we use sticks for. It's the middle of the day. Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to go looking for sticks at night when it's too late? No, I didn't think so. Furthermore, these sticks could be sharpened for poking things. At this point, I'm sort of running out of stuff and I'm trying to, I can't believe I have to explain this to you. We build with sticks, right? I mean, maybe not these small ones I have here, but I'm working my way up to bigger ones that we're going to build. Anyway, the point of this little scene is no one ever questions the guy gathering sticks because of all that that I just came up with off the top of my head. And if I were there, I'd have, you know, 10, 20 excuses. And so so what's happening now is the Gershonites are probably waiting for their assignment, thinking like, come on, come on, come on. Say, impregnate all the women, impregnate all the women, impregnate all the women. And then God is like, and they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle. Damn it, curtains. Oh. Impregnate all the women, curtains, not quite the same. And the tabernacle of the congregation, his covering, and the covering of the badger skins that is above upon it, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the hangings of the court, and the hanging for the door of the gate of the court, which is by the tabernacle and by the altar round about, and their cords, and all the instruments of their services, service, and all that is made for them, so shall they serve. You shall not pass. At the appointment of Aaron and his sons shall be all the service of the sons of the Gershonites, in all their burdens and in all their service, and ye shall appoint unto them in charge of their burdens. This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon, in the tabernacle of the congregation, even though they wanted to be in charge of impregnating all the women. Nonetheless, they're in charge of the curtains. And their charge shall be under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. As for the sons of Merari, thou shalt number them after their families by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, shalt thou number them. Lots of forged birth certificates going on here, I'm imagining. Everyone that entereth into the service to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And after this, so he's just assigned the sons of Merari something, I don't even know what. And the sons of Merari have got to be thinking like, look, what the hell is there even left to do? The last people got assigned curtain duty. Like, what could be less important than that? Could there be like another level of insignificance that we are about to cover here? And they got everything like this tabernacle is like a 3 by 3 by 3 foot box. Like, what else? What? It's this little booth that they travel. Actually, I don't really know precisely what it is, even though, well, we did have that 2-chapter description of it, but I blocked that out of my memory like child abuse or something. Like, but it's got to just be this little booth they carry around with them because it is mobile. I mean, they bring it where they go, I think. But, I mean, they must be thinking, these sons of Merari, like, what could be next? And I'll tell you. And this is the charge of their burden according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation. The boards of the tabernacle and the bars thereof and the pillars thereof and the sockets thereof. The boards. You guys are in charge of the boards of the yeah. And the pillars of the court round about and their sockets and their pins and their cords, with all their instruments and with all their service, and by name ye shall reckon the instruments of the charge of the burden. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, who were wondering what the hell else there was to do. According to all their service, in the tabernacle of the congregation, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. And once again, this is why I would have probably been murdered years ago if I were in this here Bible, because at this point I would have been asking God, after I was done gathering sticks, hey, so God, this is all great and everything, I love it, but is this accomplishing something? Like, I mean, okay, once we have all this bullshit figured out with the, you know, tabernacle, who's in charge of boards, who's in charge of nails, who's in charge of paint, you know, who's in charge of the overall location, you know, everything, and all the, you know, once we've got every badger skin in its appropriate place, are you going to be happy or something, God? Like, what? Do you sit back, you know, like you're watching TV on a weekend or something? You just be like, ah, yeah, they got all the tabernacle put together just right. Just how I like it. Oh, I love this. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for putting this tabernacle together. Oh, yeah. Like, what? Is that it? Is that what happens? Like, what? Really, what happens once they do all this? Is there... I mean, clearly life didn't end. The world went on for several thousand more years. So, like, did he just intend that they... I can't take this anymore. Obviously, this is not a real God. I'll just move on. I mean, how much clearer does it have to be? It really... And again, I think most sane religious people don't really listen to the Old Testament, and which is good, but how do you have the New Testament without the Old Testament? Why is it in the Bible? Why is it still endorsed as anything? It's like people just think of Genesis and they think of the flowery language. And they're like, yeah, that's good. I love the Old Testament or something. I don't know. I don't know what people think. I'm just a man trying to sort through this bullshit. And Moses and Aaron and the chief of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites after their families and after the house of their fathers. From 30 years old and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone that entereth into the service, military service, for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. Oh, no, never mind. That's slightly less dangerous than military service. Tabernacle duty. And those that were numbered of them by their families were 2,750. 2,750 people working on this one stupid tabernacle. There's got to be a lot of bumping elbows at the workplace, I would think. Especially since the tabernacle probably fits like 12 people in it. These were they that numbered of the families of the Kohathites, all that might do service in the tabernacle of the congregation, which Moses and Aaron did number according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Boy, once Moses picks a theme, he sure sticks with it. No one has ever asked him about the demographics of the people here. But I'll be damned if he's not going to count every friggin' object and person in this Bible. Like, once he sets the name of the book, he goes with it. I'll give him that. I'll give him credit for that. And those that were numbered of the sons of Gershon throughout their families and by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old upward even unto 50 years old, everyone that entereth into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation, even those that were numbered of them throughout their families, by the house of their fathers, were 2,630. These are they that were numbered of the families of the sons of Gershon, all that might do service. So this is just rephrasing and then adding a number. Love it. With Moses and Aaron, is the care of the Lord. And those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari throughout their families, by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that entereth into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation, and once again, more filler crap, still racking up the BS pages. Excuse me, that was disgusting. Racking up the BS pages. God must have really given Moses like a ridiculous page number assignment, you know, for this paper he's writing. Moses probably back in the beginning of the semester was like, hey, God, noticed on the syllabus here, there's this book I gotta write. I'm just wondering, how many pages are you expecting for this book? God is like, well, it's hard to put a precise number on it. Yeah, but like, typically, how long are other people's testaments, you know, when they turn them into you? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a couple hundred pages. And I'm sure this just took Moses totally by surprise, but he had to sort of, like, go with it. Wow! 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 A couple hundred. I mean, yeah, a couple of that's just low is all because I a couple hundred, a couple hundred. Hopefully a couple means like seven, because I mean, I easily have that many. I'm just thinking like that's not enough, maybe, is all I'm thinking here. And to get all the numbers that I'm planning to put in this book, because there's going to be lots of numbers. I'm just thinking 200, you know, it's just not. It's going to. And then he just went home and promptly, diabolically mapped out every possible scheme to increase the page count of this thing. That's what happened. And then he got an F on the paper because it sucks. Even though, and he had to retake the class. Why am I still going with this analogy? Or invisible imaginary land where he had to like add a fifth year to his college degree in bullshit religion. All right, I'll stop. Even those that were numbered of them after their families of 3,200. These be those that were numbered of families of sons of Merari, and now he's just saying all the same things except with Merari instead of Gershon. Or another name, like, what was the other one? Kohath. From 30 years upward, there were 8,504 score. Holy crap, I take it back. Remember when I said 2,800 and whatever was the number that was working on the tabernacle? That was just one of the families that was probably in charge of, like, I don't know, like wiping the tabernacle. You know, like, one of the duties. But really, this last one, there's 8,000, and then there was like 5,000 or something. Like, you got literally this retarded tabernacle box booth thing, and you have like 20,000 people in charge of it. it's got to be a pretty short shift. Like, Steve, you're on for the 11:02:04 seconds to 11:02:06 seconds. And meanwhile, Steve is like, I don't even know. We don't even measure time that precisely yet. Like, well, how are you assigning me a 2-second time slot? Like, I guess I can just go 1-2, but I'm not going to know exactly when to start. Because I guess I could listen to the last guy go 1-2, and maybe that'll work. But this is, how about we lay some people off here? Like, we don't need this many employees. 8,504 score. According to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, every one according to his service and according to his burden. Thus were they numbered of him, as the Lord commanded Moses. Boy, you know, that was really weird at the end. I almost feel like, I don't know if I want to, I don't know how to say this, but I almost feel like this book, the end of this chapter, was just a complete repetition of what we just read in the last chapter. I mean, there's no way that's true, though, right? I mean, obviously, no one would do that. No sane person, let alone badger, dog, any like conscious being capable of writing, which badgers and dogs are. Well, okay, not dogs so much, but definitely badgers. I guarantee you don't know anything about badgers, so that's why I just make it up. Third smartest mammal on the planet after the whale, I'll have you know. Yeah, no one would really just repeat the same thing over and over in a eternal infallible book. So I must be doing it. It must be me. Like, I must be reading the same. Okay, this has been a long enough book, or chapter. On to chapter 5. I'll try to speed through these. I just had a million things to say, I guess. This is probably going to be a long podcast. I'm looking at it's already at about 30 minutes, a little over. I'm thinking it's going to be pretty long. I'm wondering, it just occurred to me, like, do you guys like that? Do you like a longer one? Do you like a shorter one? What's about, I mean, I'm covering just like mathematically the same amount of Bible, pretty much, give or take, because I usually cut off on a round chapter. Let me know. Do you like it longer? Would you like it shorter? Are you pissed off that I'm not even done? I've just finished the first book of three and we're at 30 minutes. I mean, it's not going to be a 90-minute podcast. I'm telling you that right now. But, like, do you like it an hour? Do you like it a half hour, 2 hours, 4, 8 hours, 9 hours, 12 hours, you know, 15 hours? Let me know. You tell me how many hours. And tell me on comments at Thomas of the Bible or at thomasofthebible.com, the website, just comment on something, throw me an email, write an iTunes review, and I'll get to chapter 5. Deal. Ah, right after I downed the last of my little scotch. All right. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Whoa, what a weird way to start a chapter of the Bible, saying, command the children of Israel, because I'm too lazy to do it. Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and everyone that hath an issue and whosoever is defiled by the dead. And I know from the previous chapter, hath an issue means like you're bleeding or like spilling, as it were, from certain parts of the body. But I think this verse is actually funnier if you read it command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and everyone that hath an issue with that last commandment can just go and screw themselves because I'm sick of dealing with it. Like God's getting all bitchy or like he's tired. Or maybe he's sort of losing control of the group a little bit. Like people are starting to like, I don't want to do any of this stuff. And he's like, you know, anyone that hath an issue with anything I say, both male and female shall ye put out. Without the camp shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and brown nosers, and put them out without the camp. As the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. You know, I'm wondering, I take it back. I'm not going to read that one. I'm already over time. And the Lord spake unto Moses again. That's all he ever does is talk to Moses, apparently. Speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or a woman shall commit any sin that men commit, to do a trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty, then they shall confess their sin which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add unto it the fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed. But if the man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass unto, let the trespass be recompensed unto the Lord via check or debit card, even unto the priest. Give it to the priest. That's convenient. Beside the ram of the atonement, whereby an atonement shall be made for him. And you know what? I just thought of something. I just thought of a little loophole here for any priests. And stop me if this already occurred to you. I get a little scheme I'm thinking of here. But orphans are totally boned in this case. I bet they didn't last a minute in this world. Think about this. If you're a priest and you screw over an orphan who, by definition, obviously hath no kinsman, the money you owe that orphan goes straight to a God. And since the priest actually is God, since there isn't a God, you see where I'm going. And I sort of wonder if Catholic priests have been using this rationale with orphan children. Probably not, but they probably don't use any rationale. And every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring unto the priest, shall be his. And every man's hallowed things shall be his. Whatsoever any man giveth the priest, it shall be his. And I can't believe these people were so stupid. Didn't any of them ever just say, hey, you know, I've been thinking about this whole thing. It seems like the ones who are really getting the best deal here are the priests, believe it or not. I wonder if that's just a coincidence or what. Like, you know, like, no one had that thought. How did no one see a problem with the fact that the only people who can directly talk with God just so happen to be giving you a bunch of orders from that God that amount to bribery and servility and all this, you know, like all these advantages for them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man's wife go aside, like in Shakespeare, you have an aside, like if they all of a sudden stop a conversation and speak to the audience, that's what this is referring to, and commit a trespass against him during that aside, I guess, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, but he can hear it. That's an important distinction. No. And be kept close, and she be defiled, and there be no witness against her, neither she be taken with the manner. Do I need to sum up what's been going on? So far, it's just saying if you screw somebody over, pay God. Plus a fifth. So interest. And then right now, it's starting by saying if somebody's wife cheats on the husband, but the husband has no proof and doesn't actually catch her doing it and really has no idea, but just feels jealous. Continuing. And the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled, either way, then the man shall bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it. That's very important. Nor put frankincense thereon. Well, that's obvious. No one would ever do that. For it is an offering of jealousy. And you don't, everybody knows you don't put frankincense on an offering of jealousy. I don't know why the Bible even bothered saying that. An offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. Just sit her down before God. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel. This is so engaging, this book. It just makes me yawn. And the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle, which somebody didn't clean. One of the 20,000 people didn't scrape the dust off the bottom of the tabernacle. Guess we got to hire more guys. The priest shall take it and put it in the water. So he's making this brown poop water. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord, as he already did, but just to make sure, and uncover the woman's head. Uncover a woman's head! Never! Never. Never uncover a woman's head. That's horrible! And put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causeth the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath, and say unto the woman, if no man hath lain with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside unto uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from this bitter water that causeth the curse. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled, and some man hath lain with thee beside thine husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say unto the woman, the Lord make thee a curse and an oath among thy people. When the Lord doth make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. And this water that causeth the curse shall go into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. And that's the best the woman can come up with. Could she not think of anything is she not good at thinking on her feet or what? Like, could she have said, instead of amen, amen, could she have said, like, piss off, assholes, or anything like that? No, amen, amen. Bad dialogue in this Bible. And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with the bitter water. And at this point, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the next chapter was like a laundry list of every name and offense committed and documented in this way that just described. I really wouldn't be surprised. Like chapter six. Well, okay. If it was chapter six, I would be quite surprised because I've already read chapter six, and that would be kind of weird if it was just not what I already read. But never mind. Chapter seven. It would go something like, and on that day there were several jealousy offerings made. These are they in totality. Stevens, Marjorie. This particular harlot was accused of cheating on her husband with Ben, Bob, Billy, Joe. I'm using very authentic Jewish names. And so on. That's how it would go. And actually, come to think of it, I would find that chapter more compelling than the one where they built the ark for like 2 months of reading. Like loads more compelling than that one. Like easily 30 times more compelling than that. On second thought, I'm actually hoping that's the next chapter. And he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causeth the curse, and the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. And that was just confusing. That verse was just unnecessarily confusing. So, has it been the water that caused the curse this whole time? Or, I'm sorry, oh no, I guess the curse is the water's causing the curse that you're putting on this woman because you're jealous? And then, like, the water's bitter. It says bitter water. And then it says become bitter once it enters into her. So it's like becomes bitter or like again. I don't know. I'm just things like this. I wonder if God's editor could have like cleaned that up a bit, you know. Then the priest shall take the jealousy offering out of the woman's hand and shall wave the offering before the Lord and offer it upon the altar. And the waving is because the Lord is so far away that it can sometimes be hard to get his attention. You got to be like, okay, can you hand me that? Hey, hand me that offering. Okay. Hey, Lord, wait, you guys can't see this, but I'm waving. Altar, offer, hey, oh, yes, I see. Ah, thank you. Okay, good. Just gotta catch your attention there. It helps if the offering is shiny. That helps. And the priest shall take an handful of the offering, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar, and afterwards shall cause the woman to drink the water. Cause the woman to drink. And when he hath made her to drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. And her belly shall swell, and her thigh shall rot, and the woman shall be a curse among her people. And I guess I'm sort of wondering, how does the husband, like, win out here? You know, like, so this is the one woman you get to sleep with, and she now has rotten thighs and a swollen belly. Does this make you happy? Did you win, I guess, I don't really see how you did, but... All right, and if the woman, just bores me to pieces. And if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, then she shall be free and shall conceive seed. Some great chemistry going on here. The woman drinks some dirt water, and if she's cheated, it ruins her life and rots her thigh. But if not, then she's fine. I'm guessing there are a whole lot of women who were put through this and found innocent because the water didn't do its magic, you know? I guess if people were stinky enough back then, you could just say her thigh was rotten, you know? but like, anyway. This is the law of jealousies. When a wife goeth aside to another instead of her husband and is defiled, or when the spirit of jealousy come upon him and he be jealous of his wife, and shall set the woman before the Lord, the priest shall execute upon this law. Then shall the man be found guiltless from iniquity, and the woman shall bear her iniquity. So all this was a weird thing you do with a woman if you think she's cheating. And supposedly it tells you if she's cheating. Chapter 6. Try to rush this here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, shocking start. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. Nothing to say. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall be no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled, in the which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. So basically all that's happening here is starting to describe some weird process by which you become a Nazarite, which I don't even know what that is. It doesn't tell you, unless I missed it somewhere, but I don't think it did. So maybe that's a priest, I don't know. But anyway, you have to separate yourself and not eat any grapes of any kind, which it could have said, but then it also went on to explain for an hour, no dry grapes, no wet grapes, no blue grapes, no green grapes, no rotten grapes, no good grapes. You know, it's like a Dr. Seuss Dr. Seuss book to try to tell you what grapes you can't eat, which is any of them. Anyway, all the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. So necrophiliacs need not apply. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, nor for his mother, or for his brother, or for his sister, when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. Yeah, this, This might, because I take it this kind of thing happened all the time. Like, it must have, in order to justify putting a chapter or a verse about it in your eternal book. People must have come to Moses all confused, just constantly. Moses, what do we do? You know how you said anyone separating themselves to vow of Nazarite mustn't make himself unclean for his father, his mother. You know, remember all that? And Moses was like, yes, I remember that. Well, we're having a hell of a time, because every time, literally, except maybe once, every time someone's about to finish their Nazarite vow, somebody dies suddenly right by them. So, like, what we're wondering, and there's a crowd of people wondering this, obviously. What we're wondering, everyone, is, I think you'd agree, what we're wondering is, does this count? I mean, the person died next to them. But they didn't do it on purpose, you know. I wouldn't call that defiling themselves so much as being defiled, you know. And Moses is like, oh, that's a good point. Let me clear this up with the man upstairs. And he meant that literally stairs. And the other point is, like, they are doing this for God, right? Like, this is all God's thing. Would it be too much to ask for, you know, to ask God just not murder anyone in the vicinity of any of these people for however many days it takes? Like, would that, is he that murder hungry that he can't do that? And on the eighth day, he shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and make an atonement for him, for that he sinned by the dead, and shall hollow his head that same day. Sinned by the dead for having someone die by you. Someone spontaneously just dies, and all of a sudden you sin by the dead. Like man, you should have known better. Like, anyway. And he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, shall bring a lamb of the first year for trespass offering, but the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled by the person who died by them. And this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he-lamb of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering, and one ewe-lamb of the first year, without blemish, for a sin offering, or a peace offering, and a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, just mingling, socializing with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and their meat offering and their drink offering. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord, and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering. Just trying to get through it. And he shall offer the ram of sacrifice, a peace offering of the Lord, with a basket of unleavened bread. Oh, in case you're wondering what's happening, nothing. Just the people who are trying to be Nazarites surprised they have to bring a bunch of stupid sacrifices and do them in the right order, and there has to be bread, but it can't be leavened, and then there's got to be an offering, and you wave things, and surprise, so surprising, shocking. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle. It's really giving me the guys. And shall take the hair of his head of separation and put it in the fire, which is under the sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall take the sodden shoulder of the ram and one unleavened cake out of the basket and one unleavened wafer and shall put them upon the heads of the Nazarite. After the hair of his separation is shaven. And the priest shall wave them for a wave offering. Lord, hey. Look, waving, offering. This is the holy for the priest with the wave breast and heave shoulder. And after that, the Nazarite may drink wine, finally. This is the law of the Nazarite who hath vowed and of his offering unto the Lord for separation, beside that his hand shall get according to the vow which he vowed, so must he do after the law of separation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance up upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put thy name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And that part of the end, I guess, was just some blessing to give to people for some whatever reason. Did we ever find out what the benefits of being a Nazarite are? Like, why would people go through all that? Is there good health insurance, pension? What is it? I guess maybe they start getting like a percentage of all the doves and turtles and crap people bring. I don't know. I don't know what a Nazarite is. Oh, all right, that's the end of the reading. I'm spent on this stupid crap reading. So thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.